Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This is movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
turn, I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, made me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready.
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness ever since the Declaration of Independence. We've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they're prejudiced. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Welcome to another edition of Your World News on the Your World News Media Collective in conjunction once again with UNI TV, this student-driven media collective in College Park, Maryland. It's a warm welcome to you on this October 5th in the year 2017, and we've got a special show ahead. I'm your host, Solomon Kamajan, and my co-host for the show once again is Miranda, a student activist, you know, president of SJP, you know, College Park student chapter of SJP, joining us in studio once again. And we've got a show that we've done in the past, a very popular show that we've done in the past, and I'm glad that so many people in the past have really tuned in to. And each year, we you know, it seems like, you know, despite covering, you know, given a brief history, a brief detailed history of the upcoming Columbus Day holiday, each year we take a different angle. And so this will be a different angle than we've taken before for the bulk of this show. But we, you know, we think it's necessary and it's on point. But as I just said, this is in advance of the Columbus Day holiday, which is, you know, coming up next Monday. It's a federal holiday in the United States. Every, I believe, second Monday in the month of October, every single year. Thankfully, more and more people are becoming educated, and because of that, we see more and more states, municipalities, cities denouncing Columbus Day, the Columbus Day holiday, and renaming it to something else, something like Indigenous Peoples Day or Native American, you know, Peoples Day, and such as, you know, City of Seattle, Washington, such as, you know, now Los Angeles County, you know, Brown University, you know, their students, you know, led a movement and got that holiday abolished from their campus. We know, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota. You know, so there's, you know, more and more states that are pushing this holiday off of their, you know, off of their annual celebration and denouncing it, and rightfully so. Why would you want to? Why would any humane people? Why would anybody that is humane, that is in touch with his or her or their humanity in any shape, form, or fashion, want to celebrate somebody who was a serial rapist, a serial murderer, a mass murderer? A plunderer, a pillager, a mutilator, as Christopher Columbus, Cristobal Colon, but more commonly known as Christopher Columbus. And so we're not gonna celebrate him. We are going to denounce him and vilify his name as we speak. And I hope that somewhere in that realm of hell, he is tuning into this show and understanding that there that there are a lot of people out there that you know, see him as evil and all of his actions and the men that he carried with him as being evil entities as well, not to be celebrated, but to be cursed. And so, you know, with that being said, Miranda, welcome on to the show again. You know, I don't know if you want to have some, you know, any opening statements. You know, you're, you know, I believe 20 years of age. You know, any statements or context you want to give, you know, from, you know, going back to your middle school years, you know, how did your school that you went to celebrate this holiday, or, you know?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I would say that just because of, like, my upbringing, my mom is Palestinian and my dad is from Zimbabwe. In our family, we've always had a lot of sympathy and understanding for Indigenous peoples. So Columbus Day was never a holiday that, you know, we always talked about it as something that we should address, who was Christopher Columbus, in my own home. But when it comes to school, we would always talk about Christopher Columbus. Words like he discovered America, he found America, were commonly used. We never talked about all the acts of genocide, mutilation, rape he committed. That was just something that was never taught, but something that I always knew was there. And I'm really excited for the show today just because I feel like so many people don't even want to hear about all of the negative things that Christopher Columbus did. For some reason, there's this rhetoric like, well, we should just focus on the positive, all the positive things he did. But it's so outweighed by all of the evil atrocities he committed, and then the history of genocide and murder that followed immediately after him invading the Caribbean.
And what when you say what is their justification? What do they, when they say positive things? What are some of the so-called positive things that you've heard people say?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, first of all, don't have their history completely straight with it. But, you know, I've heard all sorts of language like, well, you know, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Christopher Columbus. He, like, led the great explorations. And it's like, I mean, when I think of Europeans coming from Europe and then invading the Caribbean and the Americas, I just think about murder and genocide. And I don't think about any discovery or any, like, heroic accomplishments. I just think of, like, cowardice and land theft. And so I think that's a sort of, we should be changing that narrative, that somehow, like, this exploration was something to be admired, because in reality it brought death and heartbreak for a lot, millions of people, for hundreds and hundreds of years to come.
Right.
And I think he initiated that.
Right. And with that, and also he was one of the, you know, he was one of the biggest cheerleaders, if you will, of the African slave trade.
Right.
Because, you know, after, you know, more and more indigenous people throughout the Caribbean, you know, certain parts of Central America and South America were being killed off and, you know, by not just disease, but also by being brutally maimed and murdered by him and his men, you know, they saw, you know, these African folks who, quote unquote, they discovered, which we know they didn't discover. They didn't discover a damn thing, as being, you know, valuable commodities to be brought over to the so-called New World to come in and do the work that they so desperately wanted those indigenous folks to do for them. And so, he was a huge, huge, huge cheerleader for the, you know, the African slave trade. And then another thing is he never stepped foot in North America. It's also, it's kind of odd in a lot of ways that the United States, which kind of will segue us into this, the meat of this conversation today, is that the United States is, as most folks know, or, you know, many folks know, that is, you know, I can't say most folks anymore, but as many folks, most folks know that the United States is part of North America. It's part of the North American continent, right? However, that's not where Columbus stepped foot. He didn't just not step foot in the United States. He never stepped foot in North America itself. So that means that he didn't step foot in Mexico. He didn't step foot in Canada. And so it's just odd that there's a federal holiday, and it has been a federal holiday, commemorating this man, and where unfortunately every second Monday in October, or leading up to it, because a lot of schools in different states have that day off, so preceding that holiday, maybe the Friday before, you know, school teachers, you know, kind of like in a very cult-like, indoctrinated way, have their, you know, their students, you know, singing songs like Columbus sailed the ocean blue and da 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 and da 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 da. He sailed the ocean. Like, these like little cute songs for a vile man who was anything but cute, especially in regard to his actions. And so, you know, I say all that to say, Miranda and folks listening right now, when you look at the context of the United States of America and its illegal founding and its bloody founding, when I talk about bloody, I'm not even alluding to the so-called Revolutionary War. I'm talking about bloody from the standpoint of what happened to indigenous people, you know, Native Americans, you know, as this land was ripped away from them, you know, was, you know, just ripped away from them. You know, all the brutal things that were done to them and the brutal things that were done to the Africans that were brought in to work, you know, work this land. I'm talking about that, those bloody, you know, origins of the United States. So going back to its bloody origins to present day 2017, it's kind of apropos this holiday still is being commemorated. Because the society in itself hasn't changed much in regard to what this government and its military apparatus continues to do. Thankfully, there's a lot of folks, and we're part of that, you know, we're part of that growing population, Miranda. There are a lot of people that are rejecting that, repudiating, you know, this holiday and saying, not on my watch, not on, you know, not in my conscience, not in my home. You know, my kids are not going to have some kind of false narrative of this man and you know, and his band of villainous minions. But within the context of what the United States is doing, this is a holiday that would only be celebrated, you know, within a country that continues year after year to utilize its military as a force to tear people away from the resources from which, you know, they derive from, to, you know, neo-colonize their land, to, you know, terrorize them by way of drone attacks, airstrikes, and those kind of things. These kind of things that are being done, Miranda, are quite frankly things that if Columbus had this sophisticated technology, this sophisticated weaponry, would have utilized in very similar fashion. He would have preferred to have dropped a drone or a missile on Taino and Arawak, you know, indigenous people, rather than having to just brutally use his, you know, their swords to cut them down, you know, limb from limb, you know, and so forth. And I'm sure he would have preferred to use just one clean fail swoop of a missile, you know, to blow up village after village.
Right. And I also think, like, just the fact that we celebrate this holiday as a country shows that we have absolutely no remorse for what happened and, like, how this country was founded. Just because, especially when you talk to people and you say, like, why do you still celebrate Columbus Day? They'll say, oh, well, you know, it happened so long ago. That was really in the past. Like, that's not what it's about anymore. But if it was so in the past, why don't you show any remorse for it? Why don't you try to disconnect yourself from that? Why don't you try to relearn the history that you were taught? There are so many ways to show, like, I don't approve of what happened. I don't approve of this country's founding, and people should be putting in more effort to do that.
Right, without a doubt, without a doubt. I want folks to, you know, I'm going to play this clip right now. If you have never watched the movie The Canary Effect, it's a really, really important documentary that you can find online quite easily. It's called The Canary Effect, and it's a film that is on the history of brutality that's been carried out upon Native Americans, you know, within what's now known as the United States. But also, it has a moment in the beginning where it actually talks about Columbus, because, you know, even though Columbus wasn't in the United States, it's a federal holiday that's celebrated by this country. And, you know, they kind of mention, you know, have this history in there in the broader context of what has been done to Native Americans here. And perhaps this is why, you know, this country celebrates, you know, the Columbus Day holiday. And so I'm going to play this right now. We'll see you on the other end. But it's really, really, I think it's a very, very instructive, you know, piece of information, you know, packed into, you know, just a few minutes. And so on the other end, we'll see you and we'll continue this dialogue.
Everybody thinks of 1492 as some magic date in which Columbus discovered, quote, America. But Columbus was in the Caribbean, and he never at any time came to the United States.
No, he never was near the continental mass of America. He, the great navigator that he was, you know, who washed up on a beach in the Caribbean, half a world away from where he thought he was, gets known as the great navigator. The navigator could never find his way from the island to the mainland. He couldn't discover the continent.
Oh, I think it is rather surprising that they should have reddish-brown skins. But now since we have landed in India, then these people must be Indians.
It's very interesting that Columbus's first comments regarding the Native American or the indigenous people was that they were very loving, giving. They would trade or give anything that they had. They were without malice, without guile. The whole concept that Columbus thought these were savage people was totally incorrect.
Call this part of India San Salvador, and I take possession of it in the name of the King and Queen of Spain.
It's hard to discover an occupied territory. I often go for the first time to visit people who have moved into the area. It may be the first time I've been to their living room, but I can hardly say I discovered it. I mean, after all, they lived there. Much less can I extrapolate by virtue of my noble achievement of knocking on their door that somehow or another the newly discovered living room becomes mine.
The general consensus is that Spain came for God, glory, and gold, and God being that they were going to spread the Catholic religion, glory because they were going to add more land to the crown, and of course gold because they were going to get rich.
Columbus had no trouble getting ships and men for his second voyage, but he still hadn't the slightest idea that he was headed for the vast continent of America.
They issued documents to the native people to be read to the native people saying, if you don't convert to Catholicism and give us the gold, we will do all types of harm to you. We will kill your families. We will take your land. We will enslave you. And when native people didn't tell them where the gold was, or in many cases didn't know where the gold was, the Spanish simply tortured these people. They burned them at the stake alive. They had large hunting dogs that they fed the Indians to. It was death and destruction.
Bartolome de las Casas, who was there during Columbus's tenure as governor of the island, placed the beginning population at about 3 million. 20th century historical demographic studies had placed it as high as 8.5 million. Whatever the reality actually was, it had been reduced to about 100,000 by the time he left, and by 1550, it was gone. Extinct. Columbus is symbolic, but what Columbus symbolizes is hideous. Columbus being valorized in the mythology of the United States is roughly the same as Germany valorizing Heinrich Himmler now, and in teaching this to Jewish students as well as German students, and conditioning them to accept it.
But each year on October 12th, we celebrate Columbus Day, the anniversary of that day in 1492, when Columbus first sighted the land of the New World, America.
And that was from The Canary Effect. Like I said, a very, 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 very important documentary. Definitely, if you have not seen it before, watch it. And even more importantly, something to do after you watch it, is to share the movie with other folks and really implore, you know, those folks around you who you may have influence with, just to be exposed to the film and to sit down and watch the film. You know, guaranteed that it if you haven't seen it before, it's very, very eye-opening. You know, powerful, often suppressed narratives, factual narratives, and then even personal antidotes, you know, of what, you know, indigenous people continue to this day go through, you know, and this is all based around a long, long legacy of just brutal genocidal acts that have been committed against the people, the original First Nations people of you know, Turtle Island, North America. You were saying something, you know, during the break, Miranda, you know, regarding one of your friends who talk about the song. They said the song kind of, triggered something that they remember that song. They remember it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think he was just saying that basically that's a song that everyone was kind of forced to learn and sing together in middle school. And just like they said in the clip we just heard from The Canary Effect, but like teaching students at a young age to be singing about how great Columbus was and what a great explorer he is like equivalent to forcing German students to sing about how great Hitler was. It's like very, they both committed large acts of genocide in the name of some sort of supremacy. And so I think that that's really messed up and that's wrong. I don't know, I think we need to start by educating younger people about what actually happened. I don't know if we shouldn't be pushing that sort of propaganda in schools.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Miranda, and you know, to your friend who brought that point up, you know, that's very good, you know, analysis of the situation. But I want to encapsulate the last couple of things, the last couple sentences that you said, that we shouldn't be indoctrinating children like that. You're right, but most children in this country that attend public schools, they get indoctrinated from every single day in front of their classrooms when they give that Pledge of Allegiance. You know, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and then over and over again, that mindless reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, you know, and da da da. I'm so glad I can't remember it anymore. I'm so glad, but something, liberty and justice for all, indivisible, you know, I pledge allegiance. So what does that do to the psyche of an impressionable child over and over and over again as they start to develop, not just physically but mentally over the years? And now they get to be, you know, teenagers and young adults. When the U.S. starts to, you know, continues to carry out atrocities in different parts of the world by way of imperialist wars of aggression, not wars of defense, wars of aggression, they've been pledging allegiance to the United States of America and liberty for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice, you know, for all. Beside the fact it's not liberty and justice for all, before that, that indoctrination is telling them, if this nation, my nation, carries out wars, imperialist wars, brutal, you know, bombings, indiscriminate bombings, I'm pledging allegiance to you. I'm pledging allegiance.
Yeah.
I'm pledging allegiance. There's no clause in that allegiance saying, you know, if, you know, unless, you know, unless my government, you know, carries out atrocities, whatever. It's mindless indoctrination every single day. And if there is no intervention along the way, intervention by way of exposing alternative narratives, often suppressed narratives, to those kids somewhere along the way, they will end up becoming the same militaristic, you know, just kind of gung-ho, you know, patriotic Americans. And I say patriotic, I'm not talking about the good patriot, which sees things that are wrong in their society and wants to clean them up. I'm talking about the one the government deems a good patriot, one that just, you know, goes along, whatever's going on, that's it. We're down. I'm down forever. Ride or die. I'm down.
Yeah.
I am down for whatever. We have a caller from Philly. Let me take this call real quick. Philly, you're on line one.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah, I think
comment around.
Yes, sir. If I could maybe present maybe a different perspective in the sense that, when you look at world history, I think we oftentimes make the mistake of looking at things through the eyeglass of things being either just or unjust, or what's fair or what's right, and that's something we can discuss. But when we look at history, human history has been defined by the words competition and the conquest ethic. That's all we've seen throughout the entirety of human history, because all people have ever done since the beginning have conquered one another, and in the competition over land, resources, and power. And even before the Europeans came to the Americas, the native people here were engaging in the exact same behavior. I mean, they were also doing the conquest ethic, where they would conquer other groups, take advantage of them, take their land, take their resources. You know, in the case of the Aztecs and the Mayans, often brutally. And even today, for example, when you look at the Black Hills, there's a claim that between the Hopi and the Navajo, there's a debate on who that land actually belongs to, because they're claiming that one took it from the other. And so when you look at what happened in, you know, when the Europeans came here, all the Europeans did was, because they developed their military technology faster and have better military tactics because of all the wars they engaged in Europe, that allowed them to be, you know, have victory over the majority of the world. And that's, you know, that's there to that credit. They won for them and their people, and they did it. And to act like people now have to go back and apologize is ridiculous. I mean, why? For what?
Let me interject real quick. I'm not sure how much you've studied. Yes, there were wars that went on, just like there were wars that went on in Southern Europe. And yes, there were indigenous nations that fought against each other. But by and large, that whole narrative that they were constantly at war and they were brutalizing each other, they actually had, you know, they I don't know if you've actually looked at some of the rules of engagement of some of these wars that went on, but if you look at the way that they, you didn't see a mass carnage where you saw, you know, entire populations being wiped out left and right. You didn't see mass carnage going through and wiping out nature, eviscerating, you know, tens of millions of bison just to sell the pelts. As the Europeans came and they brought that capitalist mentality in, and there was nothing remotely similar to what the Europeans got in. And on top of that, if I take your argument, you know, which I don't agree with the entire historical assessment that you've given, that they were, you know, just constantly at war, and that there's never any kind of collaboration between different nations.
I never said they were constantly at war.
And we know, and I want you to understand also, one of the first things the so-called European, the pilgrims did when they came here, they observed, one of the first things, they observed Native American, they went and they observed how different tribes conducted business. And you know what they found as a weakness? They said it was a weakness that they actually, look at them, they actually allowed their women to be decision makers, to actually make important decisions on behalf of the community. Look how, that is a weakness. They saw that as a weakness. And so even if I take your description, does that make it right if I go and punch some, if some, you know, that, you know, because somebody does something bad, you know, that you know, okay, I saw them doing. Not that they did it to me. I saw them do it. So we're gonna go in there and we're gonna take their fucking land. We're gonna do this. We're gonna burn men, women, and children in their wigwams, you know, to the death. And then bring in, you know, millions and millions of Africans. I mean, For you to say that, oh yeah, you know, they were just better at killing. They were just better at killing. So yay, why not? Man, fucking Columbus was a piece of shit, man. And for you to say that he was anything else than that, you know, it is completely wrong. Completely wrong.
Right. I'm not defending Columbus or defending any of these people's actions. I'm just talking about how the world is, not how it should be. It's easy to sit today in this postmodern world and look back at things and talk about, well, things should have been this way, or that was wrong, or that was unjust. Of course we can do that. But the world was a much more brutal place in the past. And for myself, like, I'm an African. I'm from Ethiopia. And we dealt with wars first with the Arab invasion when the Muslims came in and tried to brutally enslave our people. And we had many wars with them for going on hundreds of years where they would conquer us. We would go into their area and conquer them. And then the Europeans came, along with us fighting against other Africans. Same thing going on in Asia when you had the Mongols rise up and conquer their oppressors, which were the Chinese, take over them, and then they spread into the Arab world, conquered Eastern Europe. So this is a struggle that's been going on in the other side of the world since the beginning of mankind. It just happened to be that the Native Americans, because of their location, they were disconnected from what the rest of the world was dealing with. And so when the Europeans came in, they got a dose of what everybody else has been dealing with for thousands of years. And so just because they don't, you know, you can sit back and say, well, it was wrong. And of course it was wrong. That's just how it was, man. You know what I'm saying? That's all my point is. We can't pretend
but
like everybody's hands were clean.
That, Your point is, God forbid that there be any children listening right now. Because if I'm a child, if I'm an impressionable child, 12, 13, 14 years listening to right now, and I hear this man talking right now, and I could care less where you're from, whether you're black or white, because unfortunately there's a lot of people of color that will toot the same horns as white supremacists of the day and of the past. But if I'm a child that's 13, 14 years of age right now and I hear this, I'm basically hearing that this is a justification. So there's nothing in your narrative that you've been putting out there right now to say, all right, we need to learn from these mistakes of the past. Because right now, youth, because of the way things are right now today, is that, you know what, the world is for the taking, and the U.S. is the supreme military power of the world, has the most sophisticated weaponry, has more weaponry than any other country on the face of the earth. So therefore, based on what this guy is saying on this radio show right now, you know what? Then it's for the taking. Let's go and do it. Let's go and do it. And so these kids will grow up to be, and we see no change whatsoever. No change whatsoever. Because as long as we make a justification and not saying these were mistakes that were made, these were mistakes that were made, these were catastrophic mistakes that were made by some very immoral people that their conquest, and they wrote it into law. So you being, you know, a brown man from Ethiopia, you know, these same people that you're seemingly, you know, making excuses for, labeled you and I and Miranda as three-fifths of a human being, labeled us as mongrels, you know, for the domination. They saw Native Americans as savages. They never saw them as equals. And as we know with Bacon's Rebellion, that was a unifying cry for white people to say, you know what, let's take up arms together. Yes, you used to be in servitude, you know, similar to those African slaves, but you know what's different? You're white, I'm white, they're black, those niggers, keep them down. So even you poor whites, you should be against them. And so those poor whites were easily misled and said, oh, yes, you know what I'm saying, this is the rallying cry, fuck those niggers, at least we're not like those niggers right there, at least we're not like those nigger slaves, all right? You know, so yeah, you're right. You know, let's keep them down and let's make sure that we're always one notch above them. So they used skin color, reddish brown skin color, dark brown skin color, you know, bluish black skin color as a justification to say that we were inhumane and need to be put down like domesticated animals, which is why you didn't see, after a certain point, you did not see the direct invasion and of different European countries. There's a reason why, you know, those two bombs were dropped by Truman on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I'm not for a second saying that they should have been dropped in Europe, because that would have taken innocent human lives as well. And yes, I may be brown, but I do not in any shape, form, or fashion endorse the killing of innocent civilians in any shape, form, or fashion, regardless. But they knew that these folks, those yellow men and yellow women in Japan, were much, much more expendable than the white people in Germany and different places of Europe.
Right. So in no part did I ever try to justify anyone's actions. That's why I told you, this is not about how the world should be. We're talking about how things are. So, for example, in my home country, we, even though we have one skin color, we have several different ethnic groups within our land. And we had one ethnic group known as the Amhara that dominated and subjugated all the other groups brutally. And they had a brutal dynasty that ruled for hundreds of years. Now, that was just amongst our own people. Now, my point I'm trying to make to you is that this is the type of behavior that's commonplace throughout all of human civilization. That what the on a bigger scale, but their behavior was, everybody did it, because the Mongols, let's remember in Asia what they did when they went and conquered the Chinese and brutally enslaved them after the Chinese had brutally enslaved their people for hundreds of years, and they took out and they went on a massive, if you talk about brutally, they would go into the Middle East, into Eastern Europe, burn down cities, kill everyone that was above the age of five, take all the women as sex slaves, and sow salt into their farmland so that the land could not recover again. I mean, this is not like something unique. That's what I'm saying. When I study history, you see this behavior being done everywhere by everybody. And what you see in the world is there are cycles where you have pinnacle nations that rule for a certain period of time. And when that pinnacle nation's on top, there's stability in the world. then what happens? That Pinnacle Nation collapses, and the whole world plunges into chaos because everyone starts vying for power to take over that mantle. So if America were to collapse tomorrow, you better believe China is going to do everything they can to get into that position. And if you think China, for a second, is going to be somehow more nicer or more lenient than America, you need to go read up on Chinese history and what they've done. So nobody's innocent. That's the fact of the world. No one is innocent. Everybody's got dirty, bloody hands all over the world. That's my point.
I guess if I may interject, I just think that the point we're trying to make is the fact that Columbus Day is a holiday that is celebrated. And what you're saying is like, oh, well, everyone did things just as horrible as Columbus. The point is that nobody should be celebrated for those sorts of actions, especially not Columbus. And the reason that we're focusing on Columbus right now is because that is this upcoming holiday that's about to be celebrated. And like Solomon said earlier, to be like, well, that's just how the world is, that's just how it goes, that is telling impressionable people, even people my age, my peers at University of Maryland, that, you know, this sort of imperialism and this sort of dominance is accepted. And just because something happened in the past doesn't mean we have to continue with that sort of mentality throughout the future. So as we're growing up and we're seeing the sort of wars that the U.S. gets involved in with countries, all in the name of imperialism and dominance, we have the power to say, we don't stand for that anymore. That may be how our country was founded, but that's not the principles that our country is going to continue with. And that's like what Solomon was saying about being a good patriot, is saying, if you really care about the people of this country at all and preserving the, like, I guess, putting America in a better light, because as of right now, they're just like the world's bully, then we say that we don't accept this sort of imperialism or this sort of colonialism, and this is the sort of behavior that we want to change and not celebrate. And that may start with not celebrating Columbus Day, but instead saying those actions were not okay and we won't continue to do that.
So I have a question for you. If America were to stop with this imperialistic behavior, do you think that the rest of the world would all of a sudden just fall in line, everyone would be, you know, singing their kumbaya around a campfire, or do you think somebody else would try to step in and fill that void and do the exact same thing?
Well, you know what? We don't know. We're not Nostradamus, but I think that it doesn't do much for peace negotiations for there to be any superpower that is doing the things that the United States is doing. And if there are other folks that will do that, so for instance, there's always going to be some nitwits, you know, that are going to think that, you know, folks like you and I and Miranda are inferior to them just based on our skin color, that are always going to sit there and call us nigger. But you know what? The more education across the board, especially with younger generations, those people will become irrelevant. They will become isolated. So those folks, the more negotiations, the more...
Those folks that, are irrelevant
that, you
now.
Know, the more people are brought to the table to negotiate differences in a healthy, peaceful way, and for there to be models and paragons set forth as examples of excellence to follow in terms of how differences can be negotiated peacefully, then I believe more and more nations will follow those narratives. And those nations that don't will become isolated. They will become isolated from the rest of the world. And those people within those countries will be crying out for a different change. Those leaders, I should say the leaders, because it's oftentimes the leaders of different countries that are the ones that set the tone for the rest of the country to follow. Set the tone with the indoctrination and the mass propaganda that's put out there, but also wield the power of their secret police or their military, whether it's the Savak and in Iran, with the Shah or the Tonton Macoute, and you know, with Papa Doc in Haiti, or the CIA and FBI in the United States. We'll always use that, we'll use that power. But as more and more people within those countries start to see other way, those leaders will be replaced by new leaders that will chart a new destiny. And if it sounds like kumbaya and it sounds utopian and so forth, then so be it. But that's what I look for. I've always been taught to shoot for the sky. I'm not some kind of fucking loser, some damn loser, pessimist, piece of shit loser.
No, man,
listen to me. Your reality doesn't have to be my reality. And I think it's a loser mentality to think, you know, to think that violence is that if we don't do it, somebody else will. So fuck it. Let us do it. Then we need to do it. We need to do it. You know
what I'm trying to say? I get what you're saying. Listen, I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to have the exact same view you have, believe me, when I say that. But when I studied history and when I traveled around the world and really got to see how things are, that is further from reality. I'm not saying – what I'm telling you is not how the world should be. I agree. I wish the world was more like what you're describing. But I've understood what human character is and what people are and how wealth and power corrupts people incredibly. In fact, what you're talking about is the experiment that went down in the 20th century through communism, where many of the people who started communism were advocating for the very ideas you're talking about trying to achieve a utopian society where we all get along, where there's no poverty, everybody's the same, there's no wars, no fighting, we all, you know, are in the same group together, no one's different. They tried that.
No, I don't want to.
But that's my point. Listen, sir, what I'm trying to say to you is, in America, America's got a $15 trillion a year economy, the largest in the history of mankind. It's got a military arsenal that's unrivaled. Whenever you have that kind of concentration of wealth and power, there's always going to be corruption. And my point is, and I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Animal Farm, but that movie illustrates my point perfectly, where whenever anyone, even like yourself, who has these great ideas that are wonderful, that I agree with, that I wish could happen, when those ideas get implemented and those same people get into power and they get access to the same money and power, they end up doing the exact same thing that the people they replaced. That happened in my own country. When they deposed the ruling party, you know, the Haile Selassie and his whole dynasty, the people rose up, they got rid of them, and they said, we're going to do things differently. What ended up happening? One of the guys rose up, became a brutal dictator, started killing everybody, and put together a totalitarian government. Why? Because as soon as they got into the access of power and got all that wealth, they instantly got corrupted. So my point to you is people are corrupt. That's why the world is the way it is. And whenever people get greedy and they get a touch of power, it changes people, man. I wish it wasn't the case, but it is the case. So if America went down, you better believe the Chinese are stepping in. And if you don't know this, research geopolitics and see how much China's got their hands all over the place. They're already spreading their power everywhere. And anywhere America pulls back, China steps in immediately. So if China steps in, everything you're saying will be dismissed. The Chinese are not going to have this idea of freedom of expression, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly. They'll kill you and not even think twice about it. They've done that to hundreds of millions of their own people.
So you're siding with the U.S. So
I'm not
China
siding with anybody.
China's, for instance,
you're not
is
understanding.
In
you don't understand what I'm telling you.
I'm asking you a question. China right now. When is the last time China has unilaterally bombed another country? So I'm not saying China doesn't have its own motivations. We see China throughout, you know, the continent of Africa. But the difference is China, the U.S. is bombing Africa and has been bombing Africa and building military bases. Whereas by China's, you know, if we want to use your argument, China's, you know, form of spreading their whatever their form of influence is building roads and building infrastructure in different parts of the African continent, which may down the line continue to resources from Africa, but they're not bombing countries. And so to me it'd be much easier down the line to negotiate with somebody like that than to negotiate with somebody that is actively bombing and building military bases.
You cannot negotiate with the Chinese. I don't think you're aware of what the Chinese are. The Chinese are very cutthroat.
We're going to negotiate with the U.S. government. You're going to negotiate with the U.S. government.
Listen.
So what is your solution? What's your solution?
Okay.
First of all,
I've given you
way too much time already. I'm asking you what your solution is. I'm not trying to go round and round with you. You and I, we disagree vehemently. You and Miranda disagree. we agree to disagree. I just want to know what since we understand that we disagree, all right? And I never said I'm looking. Listen, my so-called utopian world as you describe it is not one that everybody is the same. I believe differences are not deficiencies. I believe that people's differences, cultural, you know, sexual orientation, you know, all
we're
these kinds of things.
We're talking about economically different.
Well, no, you were talking about the socialist model. You know,
that's what their motto
ago.
Was.
You said
that's
where
what
everybody
their motto
is the
was.
Same.
Make everybody the
they
same.
Weren't,
yeah.
They weren't looking for every. You didn't stipulate. You just said broadly across the board, everybody's the same. You didn't stipulate economy. Well, you know, I don't believe somebody's wealth should be. I don't believe someone's acquisition of wealth. That's fine. If somebody wants to go and spend their money to buy 16 cars and that's their money, so be it. But I just simply do not I vehemently am against somebody's acquisition of wealth being at the expense of somebody else. And we see that happening every single day in this country.
I agree with that.
We go back to 2007 and 2008. The acquisition of wealth, which led to that bubble being burst, was based on the exploitation of poor people of many different colors.
No, that wasn't. Come on now, you're a smart guy. I know you're smarter than that. The Community Reinvestment Act caused that bubble because the Democrats
listen,
were pushing
listen,
for this idea.
They wanted.
No.
Those subprime mortgages that were dealt out, you know, to poor, indigent people. Mostly in Black and Latino communities, but also in some poor white communities, where they were, you know, they preyed upon people's lack of knowledge of tiny, tiny, tiny fine print. This is now known. You can look this up with Richard Wolff, and you can when capitalism hits
I
the
know
fan.
This,
go,
I know this. I know this fact
go,
well.
You know. So
dude,
listen. What is your damn solution?
No,
what's your solution?
Hold up, bro. Don't play revisionist history, okay? What happened with that was the Community Reinvestment Act was a push
right.
to allow
all
people
right, listen,
without,
listen,
without
listen,
the proper
listen,
credit score
to
get a home
we,
loan
are,
without having been qualified.
Listen,
you know that's
listen,
what happened.
Listen. I'm not even going to start to get into the debate. You're calling mine revisionist history. I call yours that. So let's shut the hell
no,
up on that,
truth.
All right?
I had friends and family who got those loans. I warned them not to take them.
Okay, listen. I do not like to hang up on folks, and I'm not whatever.
Well,
listen.
You don't like to get
the people
challenged.
That are listening.
That's
the
all
people
it is.
That no, it has nothing to do with
of
being challenged.
You just made a false statement. I try to show you how it's incorrect, and you got upset about
my
it. And now you're going to hang up on it.
Well, here's the – no, I'm not – listen, I asked you before that, all right? People that are listening right now, they're smart enough. They heard what you said, and I'm asking people right now, since you don't want – I'm asking people right now to look up the work of Stiglitz and Richard Wolff and those economists, and they've done a lot of research around this, and those guys who are – heavily trained economists, their narrative vastly differs from the narrative that you're putting out there. And you know what? I will take their narrative and their research that I've read up on and I've studied.
But what you're discounting altogether is that a loan. Hold up, sir. A loan is a voluntary consensual act.
No, listen.
For example,
we're gonna go through. Nobody
put a gun to your head and made you take that loan. That's what you're negating.
Listen.
You're acting like. You act like people are not responsible for the choices that they make and the contracts that they sign. That's just common sense, man.
Listen.
You just
want to
victimize everybody, and you want to criminalize America.
Here's the thing.
And you can leave, but you're not going to leave because you know America
is
the best country that has the most freedom
and
most economic opportunity in the world.
Exactly.
That's the fact.
So here's the thing. If that's not true.
Show me a country that's got more economic opportunity and more freedom and liberty than America in 2017.
Right.
Which country is that?
You made your statement. You made your statement.
That's an undeniable fact.
So thank you for your call. You can listen to the rest of the show or you can hang up. That's fine. You made your statement. You let people whatever. And I think it's very clear It's clear to us, and it's, I think it's clear to most listeners, whether they agree with you or disagree with you, what your narrative and what's your one-sided
narrative.
Whatever,
it's about the winners and losers, and you're just you're the losers in history, and you're mad about it. I get it. I understand you're emotional about the fact that the Europeans came in and took your land and conquered.
I'm sorry, folks. I had to mute that guy out because this is a show for the people. But that was an interesting dialogue, and I hate to do that because I think that there is health in debate. But when you have somebody that comes on, and it's my show, and just like if he had a show, he wouldn't allow Miranda or myself to come over there and just kind of hijack it, and that's fine. This country is replete, and so that's why the interesting thing is that when you have people like that, and you put out, and so all I'm asking anyone listening right now, it's clear that that individual, no matter how much information you put out there, and I don't know him. Maybe he is a trained economist and so forth. I doubt it, and I only doubt it because he would have announced himself as that. But folks like Stiglitz and Klugman, you know, and Richard Wolff, you know, one of which those individuals has won a Nobel Peace Prize in economics. Their research, Miranda, their research, and I'm not going to let this, you know, this kind of like tangential topic take us away from what we were originally talking about. But just on that, because I just want people to understand, he wasn't cut off because, you know, he had a differing viewpoint in any shape, form, or fashion. He was given more than enough time, more time than any guest than we've ever had on before to actually, well, not even a guest, but a caller. He wasn't the featured guest, but a caller. Their research vastly differs from his anecdotal takes. And I say anecdotal because he's not basing that on any kind of research that he did himself. He's getting that stuff secondhand. He's probably getting it from the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing Republican think tank. He's probably getting it from there and mouthing it and probably just read it over, took a cursory look at it. But if he's honest right now, he'll look up, you know, Stiglitz and Klugman, and he'll look up definitely Richard Wolff, you know, When Capitalism Hits the Fan, and watch that those series of lectures that and the literature and the research that folks like Richard Wolff have put out there. And there's no way on earth that once when you read the research that they put out there, and then how they put out their interpretation of what not their interpretation of what happened, but their assessment based on the facts of the matter of what happened, these subprime mortgage loans and how they were prepackaged, and we understand this, and even 60 Minutes did a major story on this. 60 Minutes did a major story. Just a mainstream corporate news entity did a story on, and disclosed why this happened. This was done because of mendacious and rapacious, you know, greedy capitalists, venture capitalists on Wall Street that preyed upon the poor, the indigent, you know, mostly people of color, and the facts are the facts. The facts. Individuals like him are not going to believe anything either way. And we only even got to that economic point because after, and you heard this, Miranda, I asked him several times before that even came up, what is your solution? You and I disagree, not you and I, but he and I and you and him, you know, we disagree with him big time on when it comes to his assessment of global domination and, because there were a couple, you know, tribal wars that occurred, it was par for the taking for the Europeans to come in here and commit genocide and then commit, you know, animal side on the bison and all, you know, and the environment and so forth, and where things were, in balance before Europeans came here. And so he just basically based on that justification, and then he exposed himself at the end. You know, I'll give it to you. He exposed himself at the end by saying, "This is the greatest country on earth." He said that at the end. This is the greatest country on earth, and you're just upset because you lost. Because you lost. That's amazing that this guy would get on and say, because I lost. Because we lost. We're upset because we lost. We're upset because human beings never had a chance to achieve their own destinies. Because human beings were killed brutally. Because human beings were put in slavery. Brutal shadow slavery. Because human beings were forced to walk thousands and thousands of miles in the Trail of Tears. Many dying along the way. If that's your take, that Miranda and I are upset because we lost, well, you're damn right. We're upset. You're damn right. We're upset. And that is one of the problems with individuals like that, because they feel no empathy, no compassion for what has happened. And therefore, he's the kind of individual that looks at those numbers and says, oh, the U.S. bombed such and such last night, Kandahar, Baghdad, and could care less about the term collateral damage being a euphemism for masses of people being obliterated. I've talked enough, Miranda.
I agree with you. That was a lot. I think you're right that he did expose himself at the end with that comment, and I think that that's also part of the brainwashing that this country tries to have everyone be, like, this is the greatest country on earth, and we're the dominant superpowers, and whatever happens, happens, because we get what we want. That's sort of, like we said, that starts really early in schools when you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, you're saying, I pledge allegiance no matter what, and that kind of sounds like what he was saying. I think the idea that he thinks we shouldn't be so upset because it's happened throughout history is completely illogical, because, you know, genocide is genocide. I think we should be upset about every genocide that's ever happened, and just because, like, one country came out on top doesn't mean that we should be like, well, it was justified, because that sort of thing isn't justified. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I meant it, the good thing that kids are in school right now, because, you know, any child listening to this show, and just hearing him say, oh, well, all these people did it before, and so forth, I mean, that's basically like, just forget, oh, then it's okay, because everyone else did it. I mean, and that's the crazy thing. You have a grown man saying what, you know, a four-year-old would say.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Susie did it to me. So Johnny did it. I saw Johnny do it to Billy. Johnny slapped Billy in the face. So, you know, why is it wrong for me to go slap, you know, Timmy in the face? You know, so it's just, that whole kind of, rationale is just, especially when you're dealing with these, But you know what? It's kind of an important. Those calls are important to remind us that, you know, there are individuals out there that think this way, that think this way, and I can healthily, completely disagree with his narrative on pretty much everything that he said, and could not disagree more. I could not disagree more, and even on the whole thing about negotiations, like, you know, I mean, his kind of world, it's not about negotiations, it's about who has the biggest guns, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I believe that you'll do it to me, so what I'm going to do is we're going to do it to you first, and we're going to continue to put our talons all over, you know, all over the globe, and I couldn't disagree more. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, but war and imperialism has not worked for the planet by and large. It has not worked for the masses in large. It has only worked for a few, and even war and imperialism doesn't work for him, that caller right there, because he's not them. He's not part of that upper echelon, 5%, 3%, 4%, whatever, you know what I'm saying, 1%. He's not part of that. And that's the great thing about it, Miranda, is the indoctrination and the propaganda gets even people that many of those folks, if they saw on the street, would see no commonality with him. In their head, oh, the little nigger, you know, would judge him before he even spoke. But that propaganda, if you're not able to critically think, it even allows those who would be oppressed, or historically folks that have the same skin tone as him have been oppressed, to buy in and believe that if I just work a third or fourth job, I can make it. I can make it. To believe that this is the land of milk and honey, the land of complete opportunity, despite everywhere I look. These are my lying eyes. These are my lying eyes. Everywhere I look is oppression, rundown building, this, that, and the other. But you know what, Miranda? The only reason why they're not making it is because they're not working hard enough. They're lazy. And so that's why they live in housing tenements, and that's why they live in, you know, in projects and so forth. That's the mentality of so many people. But we know that that's not the case. That's not the case. And what about the lazy, if that is the case, no one ever talks about the lazy, you know, billionaire that acquired, you know, his or her fortune from legacy wealth that was passed down from, that was from my grandpappy, and my grandpappy's grandpappy, who was a slave master, and they got this land because they stole it, and, you know, and that land has literally been passed down and passed down and passed down. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it just takes looking into American history in a deeper way and not in the surface-level way that we've been taught or, like, this country tries to portray it as. And then also not treating genocide and imperialism as if it's a thing of the past, but also continuing to see how the U.S. is imperialistic today and how we invade other countries for their natural resources in the same way that Columbus came to the Caribbean for their natural resources and their people. And not disconnecting those two things, realizing the connections, addressing that, and then changing it. Because to say, well, that's how it's always been and will continue to be, is worthless.
Right. Couldn't agree more. Let's go to a song, you know, to kind of set the mood again. You know, let's get some mood music in. All right. You know, it's not slow dance music. You know, it's but this is mood music to set the mood back. And when we come on the other end, you know, Miranda and I will finish strong. It's been a great call. A great show so far. And like I said, you know, I don't like cutting people off. It just kept going and whatever, you know. But, you know, I in a crazy way, I appreciate his call. You know, so despite the fact that you know, we vehemently disagree, you know, appreciate the phone call. You know, we just have a lot of vastly different, you know, perspectives and on the world in which we live in, and even our interpretation of actual factual things that happened in history. These brutal things that happened in history, our interpretation is not that, you know, they had to be done, you know, the mightiest did those, and they're just doing those because of human nature. Because one thing that we were not able to interject when he said something, because it was just kind of going and just, you know, it started to become less of a discussion and more of like a, I'm talking over you, and you're not going to talk over us on this radio show. But when he said something, Randy, I think it was very telling when he said, you know, that's human nature. Well, you know what? Call me whatever. You know, call me a little cute, fuzzy, whatever. You know, I also think that it's human nature. So if that's human nature in some folks, Miranda, I also think it's in human nature to be compassionate, to love, to care about other human beings. I've met a lot of human beings that is part of who they are, Miranda. That's part of who they are. They believe in justice. They believe in social justice. They believe in reparations. They believe in compassion. You know, they believe that everybody should have the inalienable right to determine their destinies. They believe that health care is a human right. They believe that human rights is a human right, is a right. You know, so there are a lot of human beings that clearly, based on the actions, and you know some of them, and I believe, you know, Miranda, you're one of those individuals. I believe I'm one of those individuals. That it's it's our human nature to do the complete opposite of what folks like Columbus did, to do the complete opposite of what virtually every U.S. president has done, you know, and dare I say, what a far better world it would be if there were more people that were in the seat of power that had that. And we know there are some people in seats of power in different countries that have these kinds of virtues. And, and dialogues like this, I believe, help, especially having dialogues packaged for younger folks and teaching them the difference between right and wrong, the importance of respecting, you know, humanity, can help cultivate that next generation of leaders who will be in the seats of power and will produce a different kind of power than what we see today. Not one that is top-heavy, Miranda, but one that is organic and grassroots from the bottom up. This is Head Rock, somebody I know, a comrade of mine, very proud to know, independent hip-hop artist, putting out music like this, music that gets you bopping your head, stomping your feet, but also gets you thinking in a very revolutionary, socio-political kind of way. This is Head Rock with his seminal work, Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus, the man of his time, slaughtered Arawak natives to further his kind, and they stayed of mind. And their take on the divine allowed them to be so inclined to send ships with guns, filled with men with swords, so filled with the love of the Lord that they do whatever's necessary for their position. Death is the decision when they on a mission. Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talking about?
Imperialism.
Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talking about?
Yeah. Imperialism.
Now every second Monday in October, we hold a celebration for a Western soldier who brought over a culture manifestly destined to rule and take over. Funny how in the name of Jehovah, you're supposed to be the landowner more so than the first holder. Ask the natives in Plymouth about the caravan next to the boulder. From what they told ya in high school about righteous conquest and brave explorers. Little revealed by the millions killed with the government will try to seal up the horror.
Hey, the people power locked in the death back. Like who has to sit back to see who is this back? To this back, who this back? Promote armed attacks with impact plus import crack. Now tell me what you think about that. Do it sound familiar to me too, cousin, I feel ya. And all because I picked up a book and looked and was shook by the shit these books done took. Chris Columbus, the man of his time, slaughtered Arawak natives to further his kind, and they stayed of mind. His air they wanted to find allowed them to be so inclined to send ships with guns, filled with men with swords, so filled with the love of the Lord that they do whatever's necessary for their position. Death is the decision when they on a mission. Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talk about?
Imperialism.
Death is the decision when they on a mission. What we talk about?
Imperialism.
Hey, but not long after the shock of being enslaved, recovery efforts are made to educate the people's afraid, terrorizing the way, diabolical, physical, psychological, part of an economical interest, an ill-fated role in the existence of humanity, ultimate sin fest, the obliteration of race and a savage little passes to a civilized way, mixed and mixed gold, buys the green gold, giving new lingo, lustrous green gold, decimated families to singles, me and Jose Campos. Santos, Amigo, and them to the plantation, jingles, souls of freedom, hit them drugs, it's time to beat them, teach them about the blood, tear for the love of who we are. Chris Columbus, the man of his time, saw the Arawak natives to further his kind, and they stayed of mind, and then they wanted to find, allowed them to be so inclined, to send ships with guns, filled with men with swords, so filled with the love of the Lord, that they do whatever's necessary, but they position.
Yeah.
Guns don't kill people.
What?
People kill people.
Yeah.
With guns created by people to kill people.
These
words of Winchester and Brother Magnum. Time to lock and load, tag them and bag them.
Shoot 'em up.
What we teaching them in class, son, with the most sophisticated weaponry imagined. Pull out the wagon
in the heat, stack 'em.
And if they friends aiming for revenge,
then attack 'em. check it. You're right to bear on this
criminal
conflict resolution.
That was Chris Columbus by Head Rock. Head Rock, known as the mayor of DC rap and the DC hip hop, and that's Head Rock. Yes. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I do every time I hear that song. So, you know, moving forward as we you know transition to the last 15 minutes of the show. You know, we've covered things and we've discussed, you know, Bartholomew de las Casas. For folks that we want this show to continue to be as educational as possible. So if you can Google an individual by the name of Bartholomew de las Casas, who was a friar from Spain, who was alive like during the time that Columbus was alive. And he actually witnessed, you know, and early on had no problem with the atrocities that he witnessed, but then he was actually eventually his conscience got the better of him and he ended up writing a book the destruction of like Western destruction of if you look and I'll get it in a second, but he wrote a book. It was like Western, you know, destruction or European destruction of Indians, and his book gets deeply into what he witnessed firsthand, what Europeans were doing in the so-called New World, in the Western Hemisphere. And so he writes about the atrocities that were carried out. That's a very, very important book or an individual to research. We talked about Howard Zinn. Very important to research the work of Howard Zinn.
Destruction of the Indies is the title of the book.
That's it.
Yeah.
A short account of the destruction of the Indies.
Yeah.
That is the book. And Howard Zinn references, a lot of folks reference Bartholomew de las Casas because, you know, he was somebody that was alive and saw firsthand some of these atrocities that were being committed. You know, and you know, all these things paved their way forward. And these people didn't see, they saw them as savages. They did see these indigenous people as savages, whether they're indigenous to North America, you know, continental North America or the Caribbean, you know, or South America. They didn't see them as human beings. They saw them as a subset of human beings, lesser than the white man, the white woman. And then we look at, you know, years and years down the line, you know, many hundred, you know, a couple hundred years down the line, we look at the 1800s and we look at Manifest Destiny, and later on the Monroe Doctrine and Manifest Destiny, this, you know, the white man, I mean, this is the U.S. is, the, you know, this is our destiny to go and take on and usurp land anywhere within this hemisphere, you know, real interesting stuff, like read up on that and It was all set in place by these actions, by Columbus and his men setting these things into action, and them being justified, literally hundreds of years later on. And you can say it's still going on today. I mean, how was the destruction of Afghanistan, the destruction of Iraq? You look at what has happened to Iraq. And look at some of the narratives and the destruction, you know, or the narratives that justified that war. A really great book to read, a very important book to read is The Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. You know, which kind of gets into that disaster capitalism aspect of things, and I mean it's, you know, so these are all like important works that can help, you know, broaden, you know, perspectives with, you know, anchored by cold, hard facts. So it's not a holiday that I believe, personally, any humane society, any society that cares about the dignity of human beings should extol, celebrate, or have packaged in anything less of anything more than a teaching point in high schools and middle schools. I believe it should be taught who this individual was and such, and what and the things that he did. But to give it to give this man a holiday and to not talk about those things, the important things that he did, because the important things that he did, the important things that he did was the destruction of indigenous people. And I'm not saying important in a good way. I'm talking about those are the important things that it need that need to be known. Not that he sailed the ocean blue, but it's important to know the destruction that he carried out, because knowing that, I just don't see how any human being that's in touch with humanity can make any kind of excuse for him or justification for what he did as it being anything good or positive. Miranda.
Yeah, I think that these are the sort of conversations we have to keep having, and that they do need to keep happening just because the caller, and I'll go back to him, but would say, and this is like the sort of rhetoric that we hear a lot, you know, he represents a pretty large population of the American public that says, like, why should we go back and apologize for these things? Like, why do we keep bringing it up? And it's because it's the legacy of these impacts that continue to affect our society today. We still have indigenous people living in the Caribbean and then in the Americas indirectly because of Columbus, because he never actually came to America, but that are suffering at the hands of so-called explorers that came here and took advantage of the land and the resources. And those people deserve to be recognized because they're still suffering from that. And if we're continuing to celebrate this holiday while there are still people living in this country who are directly suffering from that, then that should be talked about and that should be acknowledged.
Right, right. So what would your, you know, and I totally agree. No, it starts with conversations. It starts with conversations. You know, oftentimes people downplay the importance of conversations. You know, these conversations, two-way conversations, multi-way conversations that are leading towards, you know, something constructive, you know, put on paper that can hopefully be moved into some kind of just policy that benefits the masses. You know, so without a doubt, and a lot of the different movements that we talk about, they, you know, the things that were done, they started off as conversations of a small group of people having conversations about things that were going on in society that they were not cool with. They were not cool with in any shape, form, or fashion, and they were willing to be the inconvenient hero, if you will, the inconvenient hero, heroes and sheroes. So yeah, it definitely starts with conversations. Beyond that, what are some of the what you would say some maybe the prescriptions if you were the democratic leader of a different world, a different society? What kind of prescriptions would you supply, you know, us with in terms of bringing about that change?
Well, I think that Christopher Columbus should continue to be recognized because he, like you said, he had a really huge impact in a negative way. And so I don't think that should be erased. And I also don't think that, a recognition of this day should be erased, but instead changing it to the name, like, Indigenous Peoples Day or Indigenous People Day would put more emphasis on those that were negatively impacted on it rather than a sort of, like, honoring of some sort of explorer. It would be more putting the emphasis on, okay, these were the indigenous people that were impacted by it in the past, and how are indigenous people still impacted by it today? And then also changing what we learn in school as well. It starts there. Let's talk about what Christopher Columbus actually did when he arrived in the Caribbean. And just sort of, I guess, relearning the whitewashed history that is being taught right now in a more correct way. That's what I would do. And then also whatever reparations are necessary to the indigenous community. I wouldn't say that I know enough right now about what necessarily needs to be done. I know that indigenous communities, a lot of them are very impoverished in this country, living in reservations still, and they don't have a lot of the same rights that other people living in this country do, whether it be economically or socially. So addressing that, I'm not sure how to go about that. Yet.
Right. No, you're right, and you I think you hit it on with with reparations, those territories, large swaths of reconstructive, money is being pumped into those communities because those reservations, function much like Bantustans. They've starved of a lot of resources. You have high rates of alcoholism, and that is a direct correlation to depression. People being very, very depressed. You also have high rates of suicide, extremely, extremely high rates of suicide of even young people, committing suicide, killing themselves, not seeing any kind of brightness in the future because they look around and the community, so yeah, there needs to be, without a doubt, I definitely believe that reparations and some type of restorative justice needs to be a policy doled out to those communities because, yeah, the residual effects of what happened hundreds of years ago in Miranda are very evident, to those that have been to Native American reservations like Pine Ridge. And you go to a place like Pine Ridge and you see exactly the type of despair that has been, been discussed, the kind of despair that you'll see when you watch the Canary Effect, and you'll see exactly like that, things like that. So, we really appreciate you tuning into the show, and, we really just want you to take away from the show just, just an open mind for, for justice, an open mind for compassion, for the descendants of those indigenous people that were killed off in the Caribbean, in continental North America, Turtle Island, and for that matter, all of the world and what's going on right now. Because there are people being oppressed and being killed off right now. We look at the Moringa, all these things that are happening right now as we speak, our brothers and sisters in Syria and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Yemen. And it's just crazy that we could just go on and on. Palestine, whether it's Gaza, West Bank, East Jerusalem, even Palestinians in so-called Israel right now being, the East Africans in Israel, that, 80% of the prisons in Israel are comprised of people of color. We think it's high here. We're talking about 80%. I know comrades who went there and they were imprisoned for a few days because of their activist work. And they said that prisons and the jails are filled with people of color. So throughout the world, let's consistently keep these folks in our minds and let's let, the conversations begin and let those conversations lead us to things that we can do even on a micro level within our own communities. Shoot, things that we can do in our own households, look for organizations, join with organizations that are geared towards achieving semblance of social justice. Find a cause, to help upend oppression and justice as we know it. So I'm Solomon. You've been listening to myself and Miranda. And on behalf of Miranda, I'm Solomon, and you've been listening to Your World News, the place where journalism and are not mutually exclusive. So to take us out, let's listen to Immortal Technique in the Third World. Until next time, we'll see you later, and peace.
Yeah. Third world, motherfucker. I'm from where the golden dawn. diamonds are ripped from the earth. Right next to the slave castles where the water is cursed. From where police brutality's not half as nice. It makes the hood in America look like paradise. Compared to the AIDS infest, the Caribbean slum. African streets with a passport and American gun. From where they massacre people and try to keep it quiet. And spend the next 25 years trying to deny it. Up from where they cut your hands off if you make a fist. A nigga sold coca cause the job market doesn't exist. No. Except slave labor, modern day company store. And peacekeepers don't ever, ever, ever come here no more. From where the bombs that they used to drop on Vietnam. Still have children born deformed 8 months before they gone. I'm from where they lost the full meaning of the Quran. Cause heroin is not compatible with Islam. And niggas know that, but throw that poppy seed anyway. Cause that food rap parachute does not come every day. I'm from where people pray to the gods of their conquerors. And practically every president's a money launderer. From where the only place democracy's acceptable is if America's candidate is electable. And they might even have a black president, but he's useless. Cause he does not control the economy, stupid. Lock and load your gun where I'm from is third world. Son to many places, but I'm third world born. Gorillas didn't run where I'm from is third world, son. You polluted everything and now the third world's gone. The water's poison where I'm from is third world, son. 700 children died by the end of the storm. Revolution to come where I'm from the third world, son. Constant occupation leaves the third world torn. I'm from where the Catholic Church is some racist shit. They help Europe and America rape this bitch. They pray to white Spanish Jesus, whose face is this? But never talk about the black Pope Galatius. I'm from where Soviet weapons still decide elections. Militaries like the mafia, you pay for protection. Catamite sex clauses with the country sells. And rich white businessmen make the best clientele. I'm from where they too pussy to come film Survivor. And they murder Coca-Cola union organizers. I'm from where the justice system is stopped. Fuck government, niggas politic over Perico. Rebelde conocido, enterrado vivo. Como otro argentino desaparecido. Cause Rico laws don't apply to the CIA. And motherfuckers make sneakers for a quarter a day. I'm from where they overthrow democratic leaders. Not for the people, but for the Wall Street Journal readers. From where blacks, indigenous peoples, and Asians were once slaves of the Caucasians. And it's amazing how they trained them to be racist against themselves in the place they was raised. And you kept us caged in, destroyed our culture and said that you civilized us. Raped our women and when we were born, you despised us. Gentrified us, agent provocateur divide us. And crucified every revolutionary messiah. So I'm a start of global riots, it's not even your fake. Anti-communist dictators can keep quiet. Fuck your charity medicine, trying to murder me. The immunizations you gave us were full of mercury. So now I see the third world like the rap game soldier. Nationalize the industry and take it over. Lock and load your gun where I'm from, the third world, son. In many places, but I'm third world born. Gorillas didn't run where I'm from, the third world, son. You polluted everything and now the third world's gone. The water's poison where I'm from, the third world, son. 700 children died by the end of the storm.